Welcome back to WTBU News. Here is tonight's New England report.
A Maine man turned himself into police after he shot his sister and her husband in their home on Monday. According to Maine State Police, 64-year-old Glenn Brown from Lincolnville was charged with murdering the Waldo couple. His sister, Tina Bowden, was found dead at the scene while her husband, Richard, was taken to the hospital before being pronounced dead. Brown reported the shooting to the Belfast Police Department in person and was charged the same night, though state police did not disclose any information regarding the motive behind the shooting. He was expected in Waldo Superior Court on Wednesday.
The John T. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation announced Tuesday that two Boston area scholars, Mary L. Gray and Isaiah Andrews, are among this year's recipients of the world-renowned MacArthur Foundation Fellowships. The fellowships, commonly known as MacArthur Genius Grants, are awarded each year to 20 to 30 people deemed exceptionally brilliant and dedicated in their creative pursuits. The $625,000 are endowed directly to individuals over 5 years to be used as they see fit. There are absolutely no strings attached. Recipients do not have to use the money for their work, as the grants are intended to celebrate and inspire individuals, not sponsor research. The 51-year-old Mary L. Gray is an anthropologist, so media scholar, and author who currently resides just north of Boston while on research leave from Indiana University. She concentrates on how the digital economy has transformed labor, identity, and human rights. Gray intends to use the fellowship in a project she and her colleagues began in March that aims to examine how to create technology that best addresses the new and unique challenges of community health workers battling the pandemic. Isaiah Andrews, raised in Boston and now an economics professor at Harvard University, is developing new statistical inference methods that address economic and social science challenges, which he says can help guide public policy. Andrews says he does not yet know how he will use his fellowship. Managing director of the program, Cecilia Conrad, says the recipients of this year's Genius Grants are especially impressive because they are working in the midst of a global pandemic, record natural disasters, and social upheaval.
The U.S. Justice Department asked the Supreme Court to review the case of the Boston Marathon bomber, Dzhokhar Sanarev, whose death sentence was abandoned due to concerns over the jury selection process. Lawyers from the Justice Department wrote a petition in which they called the case, quote, one of the most important terrorism prosecutions in our nation's history, end quote, and said that the first U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals was wrong in deciding that a new trial was needed to determine whether or not Sanarev should be executed. According to the Associated Press, if the court justices refuse to hear the case, prosecutors will have the option to go forward with another trial or have him agree to life in prison, with the Justice Department determined to pursue the death penalty. Sanarev was convicted of all 30 charges against him, including conspiracy and the use of a weapon of mass destruction.
As the number of new coronavirus cases and the positivity rate have increased in Rhode Island after the start of schools, numbers stay under the thresholds that Governor Gina Raimondo set for imposing restrictions on the economy. She has set her sights on reaching 10,000 tests per day and informed residents that numbers will go up in cases as the tests become more accessible. She said, "In a way, that's a good thing because we're finding the positives and isolating them." The most recent virus-related death in the state was a person in their 80s, and the Department of Health has found small numbers of coronavirus cases from the K-12 community, with only 260 positive cases amongst students, teachers, and staff. Fewer than half of these cases have not attended school in person, and 109 of the cases were picked up directly by the state's testing system that has conducted 6,000 K-12 cases thus far. 95 schools have had student, staff member, or teacher test positive for the virus, but none have caused outbreaks within their school or district.
In a statement on Wednesday, Boston Mayor Marty Walsh said Boston Public Schools will not move into the next phase of in-person learning on October 15th as originally planned, but students already in class are allowed to remain. Boston achieved red zone status last week, and the COVID-19 positivity rate has now risen to 4.1%. BPS began the school year September 21st with all students online. On October 1st, students prioritized for in-person learning, namely those with disabilities, English learners, those experiencing homelessness, and those involved with child protective services, began coming to class twice a week. By recommendation of local health experts, Mayor Walsh pushed the hybrid learning start date for K-0, K-1, and K-2 students from October 15th to October 22nd. Walsh says October 22nd is the earliest possible start date for Phase 3 of the reopening plan, but officials will reevaluate the wisdom of moving forward based on the COVID-19 data before allowing more students into classrooms.
Next month, voters in Sudbury, Massachusetts will decide the fate of a plan to construct a new Fairbank Community Center to replace the current aging structure. The center houses the Senior Center, the Parks and Recreation Department, and the School Department's administrative offices, and it would cost the town $28.8 million and add around $231 to the annual bill of an average home in Sudbury. By a hand vote at a town meeting on September 12th, funding was authorized for the project contingent on the passing of the temporary tax increase, but such practices are not uncommon for town construction projects. As most are in agreement that the current structure is too small to continue to serve the community well, and it is in dire need of help to certain roofing and foundational deficiencies, approval for the project seems to be promising. With the new building, the Parks Department and the Senior Center will be able to expand their programming and include new perks that can be enjoyed by the whole community. Funding requests for needs of the building have been rejected by the Town Council twice in the last decade, but the hope is that greater support from the people will push the project forward.
Massachusetts Governor Charlie Baker decided not to issue a state mandate banning or restricting trick-or-treating this Halloween, despite the COVID pandemic. Baker instead encourages other cities and towns to make their own rules regarding trick-or-treating for residents and visitors. Baker decided against a mandate out of worry for unintentional consequences. Baker said, quote, "The reason we're not canceling Halloween is that celebrations would have turned into thousands of indoor Halloween parties, which would have been a heck of a lot worse for public safety than outdoor organized and supervised trick-or-treating," end quote. The CDC lists traditional trick-or-treating as a high-risk activity, but offers placing goodie bags for trick-or-treaters outside the home as a moderate-risk alternative. Interactions should be brief and outdoors if they do occur, and masks should be worn still.
On behalf of Amanda Schneider, Melissa Allen, Grace Ramey, Megan Forsythe, and Hannah Barron for WTBU News, I'm Alex Corey, and the National Report will be right up next.